making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, one of the things the Bible constantly presents to us about the Christian life is that the Christian is really a person of the future. He has been brought into another kingdom, ushered or conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And because of that, there is this understanding that all of his goals, all of his aspirations, everything he lives for is now oriented to his future home. Of course, you look through the Old Testament, and even the saints of God in the Old Testament understood this. You think of somebody like Abraham, who we read in the book of Hebrews, who looked for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the Jerusalem above, as Paul called it, which is the mother of us all. But that certainly is not how typically, at least we see today in America, Christians think or even live. I think this is really brought out clearly in an experience I had as a child when we traveled over to the central coast of California to San Simeon. And visiting the castle there that William Randolph Hearst had built on his 250,000-acre ranch. It's something that has always sort of stuck with me because of the sheer extravagance of the home and also the ranch. It was really a sort of small, self-contained city with 56 bedrooms, something like 61 bathrooms, 19 sitting rooms, 127 acres of gardens, indoor and outdoor swimming pools, tennis courts, a movie theater, an airfield, the world's largest private zoo, zebras and all sorts of exotic animals still roam the grounds. But the one thing, at least as a child, we would go and I remember looking at all of this with my mouth open, astonished that a man could build such a thing. The one thing as a child that really bothered me was this question: where is William Randolph Hearst? I mean, I suppose we really can't answer that, but the one thing I did know is that he spent a lifetime building this castle that I now get to look at, and today, William Randolph Hearst is nowhere to be found. As a child, I knew something was really wrong with that. Sadly, his search really has become the search of the entire Western world, or we could say the goal of the Western world. One of the worst realities of living in the industrious, wealthy United States is the reality that we are all in this sort of strain and attempt to make the present eternal. A sort of heaven on earth syndrome, if you will. Simply put, we want our heaven now, and we've done a fine job of creating one. So we're in pursuance to make the present eternal, but sadly, we really are living in denial. A denial that this world is not our home, a temptation that we are called to fight against as a Christian, and all these temptations are laid before us to build up, as Jesus warned against, our treasures here on this earth. But then comes this real challenge as we consider what Paul is presenting to us in Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul outlines this life for us, this different life, this life that the world doesn't know and is not pursuing. And it is no life for the elite. He says, this is the Christian life. And you know what he is presenting when he describes it. It's beautiful. It's a whole different aspiration, a whole different goal of life that the Christian has. So much that he could say, whether I live or die, I know Christ will be magnified in my body. This perspective, this understanding, this pursuit that the book of Philippians really does present to us of all of life is really a forfeiting of everything to Jesus Christ. Every square inch belongs to him, and therefore I have surrendered all to him. I have counted all things, as Paul says, as loss for the gaining of Christ, a gaining of him, a gaining of the knowledge and growth in my love for this Jesus who has given himself for me. There's a very real tendency, however, my friends, to read all of these biblical characters of the past, to read the life of the Apostle Paul, and idealize it so much that at the end of the day, we walk away and think it really has no value for us. It's a fine example of Christian living, and yet we don't take very seriously what he is presenting to us about genuine Christianity. But there really is no excuse. Other than if his story is not our story, then it really is very telling that we are more tied to this world and to its enjoyments than the pursuit of what Christianity really is all about. And Paul is writing to these struggling Philippians, and he will not have it. This is the Christian life. There is no other way. And he lays it before us today, and he says, if this is really true of me as a Christian, then it must be true of you. And so we're going to work through these verses this week, as powerful as they are. And I want you to ask out there as listeners, do you desire to have the kind of Christianity that Paul's here describing? Or really, is your lack of desire for it indicative that you are caught in the web of the delights of this world and your continual pursuit has left you empty and entangled in the web of emptiness as you are in search of building your own castle, your own Hearst castle in this life? Before you today is the most beautiful description of the Christian life I think we find in the Bible. Before you today, he tells you not only what your goal as a Christian should be in this life, but he tells you in beautiful language how you are able to obtain this other life that he describes here so powerfully. And let me say today, if you are not a Christian, you are pursuing a different life that the Bible completely is antithetical to. It says it is a life that will land you in hell. The life that he's calling you to here is one that only can be given to you through coming to Jesus Christ in true faith. And so we need to see that today. Two different lives are radically separated and described and contrasted here in Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 12. Listen to what he says. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, what is Paul doing? Well, he's showing forth his life to say this is what Christianity is. If you ever wanted to ask for a definition of what a Christian is, here it is. It's a lifelong pursuit of this goal that Paul is here speaking of. And what is this goal? What does he say? It's not that I've already attained. The Greek word means to lay hold of. So I haven't already laid hold of this, or I haven't been perfected yet in this, but I laid hold of that. I lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Now that's a mouthful. So in other words, I've not yet apprehended in full or been perfected in full in what I am going after in this life, but I press on. I do lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So I haven't yet attained this yet, but my whole life now is oriented to attain it because I was grasped, I was apprehended by Jesus. Now this is glorious if we understand it. Paul, he has in his mind what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And if any of you know this account in Acts chapter 8 and 9, as we look at that, remember that glorious light shone around him, and the voice of the risen Christ came forth, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And then the statement, "You cannot kick against the goads." Meaning this, I'm laying hold of you, and there's no more fighting against me. What a description of salvation. The basis of everything Paul now is and is doing in this life has as its foundation the fact that Christ had first grasped him. And let me say, it was against his will. Now, this is where the whole notion of free will is very much attacked, because Jesus here laid hold of Paul against his own will, changed his heart, and what did he say? You can't kick against the goads. You can't fight against my grasping of you. Christ first grasped him. Christ first apprehended him so that no more he could continue in what he once was. And remember, as Saul, he was a persecutor of the faith. Now that story, as glorious as it is, has to be our story. There's no other test of your Christianity, its veracity, its genuineness, its sincerity, than what Paul is here describing. That is why the theology that teaches that we first reach up and grasp God without His intervention and His sovereign drawings is absolutely dangerous. It's going to direct your whole thought in life. If you think you did it and you accepted Christ on your own free will and your own merits and your own goodness, you are deceived as to what Christianity is. The Christianity that says that is looking to a humanistic point of view of man that says man is inherently good, and that is wrong. We are totally depraved, dead in trespasses and sins, and God first reaches down through His Son and grasps us by His sovereign drawings and lays hold of us. And you know what He says? You can't kick against the goads. You can't, goads were sharp spikes. You can't fight against my calling. So Paul is saying this: I was going one way in this life. I was pursuing evil. I was pursuing unrighteousness. I was persecuting Christians, he could say. And all of a sudden, I was apprehended. It's the same sense of the word today we use when the police apprehend someone and take them into custody. And what Paul is saying is, I was apprehended by the living Christ. And Paul is saying, now my entire life is oriented to apprehend and attain to this goal because of the fact that I have been first apprehended by Christ. And Paul is saying this must be true of you. You may not have been exposed to this kind of dramatic conversion like Paul had, but he expects this to be true of every Christian. He expects every Christian to come to a cognitive and sharp awareness that the living and personal Christ has first apprehended him. It's not that we first loved him, as the Bible says, but that he loved us. And so when that happens, when there's this understanding that you have been grasped by Christ, your whole disposition, all of your values, your thoughts, your desires are simply now to grasp back the very one who has grasped you. Isn't that beautiful? Only the true Christian can know what I'm here describing. If this doesn't make sense, the question for you is, what else other than Christ are you grasping for? You must first be grasped by Him to know the kind of life that the Apostle Paul is here describing. And the only way today is by putting your hope in Him. And when you trust in Him, you will realize that He first has grasped you. Do you know this Jesus today? May you turn to Him with a believing heart and recognize His sovereign hand has drawn you in, grasping you so that you may now have this newness of life and walk in the freedom of the knowledge of Him.
So much to learn from God's Word and, well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. And we even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.